Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Form 1040 Schedule A, Line 18. Let me read you a story before we get into this, and then we'll turn to some scripture. There was a man who had worked all his life, saved all his money, and was a real miser when it came to that money. He loved money more than just about anything, and before he died, he said to his wife, "Now listen, when I die, I want you to take all my money and put it in the casket with me, because I want to take that money to the afterlife with me." So he got his wife to promise him with all her heart that when he died, she would put all the money in the casket with him. One day he died. He was stretched out in the casket. The wife was sitting there in black, and her friend was sitting next to her. When they finished the ceremony, just before the undertakers got ready to close the casket, the wife said, "Wait just a minute." She had a box with her, and she put it in the casket. Then the undertakers locked the casket down, rolled it away. Her friend said, "Girl, I know you weren't fool enough to put all that money in there with that man." She said, "Listen, I can't lie. I promised that I was going to put that money in the casket with him." "You mean to tell me you put that money in the casket with that man?" "I sure did," she said. "I wrote him a check." Now, I don't do this very often, and it's probably not a good thing, but let me tell you right up front. Money is talked about in the scriptures more than heaven and hell. I mean, Jesus talked about money over and over because it's such a huge deal. I'm going to talk about some things today, and before you shut it down and say, "Oh, here we go again," just pray a little prayer and say, "Lord, if this is an area in my life or something that I need to hear, then show me." Because let me tell you something, everybody in this room and beyond struggles in some way in this area, or the scripture wouldn't address it so often. And sometimes it is easier to say, "Okay, God, great, you got my money, but you can't have me." And as we'll see in a minute, if he doesn't have all of you, you can give him a little money and he still not have you. This is about giving God your entire life, everything you have, everything you are. And we'll go through some scriptures that talk about this. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and following. And this is Jesus speaking here. And he's gone through a number of things, from giving alms to the poor, to prayer, to fasting. And then he makes this statement, the verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So in one sense, he starts out by saying, do not do this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Where moth, you know what a moth is. I can't find them, but you know what? I see evidence that they exist. There's nothing more irritating to buy some black sweater. You know, you really like it. You put it in your closet. You pull it out in the fall. You put that sweater on, and just all it takes is one little snack. One moth, one snack, boom, in the right place on a sleeve, and it's over. So he mentions moths, where moths and rust destroy. They've got these crazy shows on the Discovery Channel. I don't know what they all are, monster or whatever. Everything's monster something now. And they get four or five specialists, and they go out in a junkyard and find some old car. And it is full of holes, and most of the holes are created by what? Rust. Over time, the prettiest, finest, sleekest thing just starts to eat away. Time eats away of it. Rust gets a hold of us. So he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures. And by the way, this word treasures is the word where we get our word thesaurus from. The place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. A casket, a coffer, or other receptacle in which valuables are kept. A treasury, a storehouse, a repository, a magazine. The things laid up in a treasury. Collected treasures. Now, what are you collecting that you're not going to take with you? What are you stockpiling? What is it you've got? You say, "Oh, I'm safe because I don't have any warehouses, I don't have any storage, I don't have anything in my house." They couldn't find it. Well, how about your portfolio? But sometimes people stockpile. And if you ever get to the place where you have any money, it'll do funny things to you. Because what you do is you just go online now. And see, you're not going to move any money. You're not going to do anything with it. You just go online and look at that total. Well, looky there. It's still there today. Look how much money I have. And you're checking that warehouse, the storehouse. Some people don't do it once a day. Some people, it's all day long. They got PDAs. They got cell phones. If a stock moves 15 cents, it is going to call them and say, do something. They're monitoring, constantly calling their broker, moving that money around, trying to keep it all stockpiled and building, and they're going to get rich, consuming your life. And here Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. And by the way, this word destroy there is translated, it's a word that means to snatch out of sight. So what was so beautiful, moth or rust comes along and destroys. And then look at the rest of the phrase, and where thieves break in and steal. But, now he says don't lay up treasure, but then he comes back and says, lay up treasure. The question is, where are you laying up treasure? He says, Jesus said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys. Now that's kind of semi-proof there are no bugs in heaven, which is going to make heaven a really sweet place. I mean, unless all those mosquitoes and flies get, you know, saved or something and they don't bother you like they do down here. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he makes this unbelievable statement in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now see, I would not have written it that way. I would have said, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Doesn't that make more sense? That sounds right, doesn't it? Where your heart is, well, my heart's in the right place. My treasure's going to be in the right place. No, where your treasure is, that reveals where your heart is. Now, why is this message entitled Form 1040, Schedule A, Line 18? I buried a friend of mine a few weeks ago. And in the funeral service, some of his buddies got up and shared things about his life. One of his friends got up and told a story about one year they were preparing their tax returns. And he had done his, and they were checking each other, and somehow all the paperwork out, and this buddy got a hold of his 1040 Schedule A, and he looked down on line 18, which reflects what? Your total of your charitable contributions. This guy said, I looked down, and I was stunned and embarrassed at the same time, kind of. Because he looked, and it was obvious. As a result of where his heart was, it was connected to his treasure, where his treasure was. Now, if I got a hold of yours and you got a hold of mine, one line, 1040, Schedule A, line 18. Now you say, well, but I give money outside of that nobody knows about. I'm allowing for that too. But if we all passed around and I never met you, I didn't know anything about you, what would line 18 say about where your treasure is, about where your heart is? Somebody said one time to me, you know, if you want to find out where somebody lives and what their priorities are, get a hold of their checkbook or their charge accounts or if they keep receipts. Just kind of go through, used to be a checkbook. You could go through somebody's checkbook and see where their heart was, see where their treasure was. Sooner or later, whatever is real to you, whatever is meaningful to you is going to be reflected in where you put your treasure. What are you stockpiling? What are you doing with it? There's a great story about one of the professional basketball players who signed up working, you know, playing ball for a professional team, making millions of dollars, and he needed, as a believer, strong Christian guy, and he needed a VCR to watch his films with at home. And this guy had all this money and was trying to live by faith and prayed and said, Father, I don't want to trust this money, these riches. I want to trust you. I don't want to get away from this. I'm asking you to provide me with a VCR to watch my films so I can do my job better. And he could have bought 100 of them, 1,000 of them. And he began to pray. And for some reason, some promotional deal he did as he prayed through this wouldn't go by it. And the guy said, hey, will you do this? And by the way, they're throwing in a VCR if you'll do it. And God had answered his prayer and gotten him a VCR. He was dependent on God to do it, not himself. Now see, some of you got all the money in the world. You can buy whatever you want when you want it. You know what? You can't. It is not your money. Every once in a while, I'll go through a clothing store and think I need to buy all this stuff. And I'll fill a cart up and stand there and say, Lord, do I need this? And you know, the answer is probably no. And I leave the cart and walk out. You better have permission for what you're spending your money on, because you're spending somebody else's money. And whatever you do with it and wherever you put it. Now you say, well, does that mean I can never have anything nice or go anywhere or do anything? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when you do it, you better have some backup and somebody's permission to do it, because it is not my money. It's not your money. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you want to know where your heart is? Then go looking for your treasure. Look down at verse 22. We'll read through this and get down to another piece of it. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And this word mammon means treasure, mammon, riches, where it is personified and opposed to God. That's when it means riches. And you get this battle. And Jesus knew it. He observed it. He knew the heart of men. He knows our hearts and what we struggle with. It's materialism. It's greed. It's consumption. It's all of these things. You cannot serve both. You may have two jobs, but you cannot work two jobs simultaneously at the same time. You may have a 9 to 5 and a 5 to midnight, but you can't have 2 9 to 5 jobs and have two masters. You'll be split in two. It'll tear you apart. You cannot serve two masters. So a lot of the challenge here, the problem is, who is the master? Is the money the master? And see, nowhere in this does it say you're the master. Never implies, never states that you are the master. Either God is the master or money is the master. It's one of those two things. It's nothing in between. You cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate the one, love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then let me read you this next little bit. 25 down to the end of this chapter. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add 1 cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And it gets down to faith. Do I trust in riches? Do I trust in what I have, what I've accumulated, that moths, rust, thieves can steal? Or do I trust in God to take care of me? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, it does not say don't plan for tomorrow, don't prepare, don't save. It's just don't put all your faith in your treasure, in your stockpile, and that this is what's going to fix it. I can tell you story after story. Talk to anybody who's put all their stock, literally this week, a guy talking about he'd put all his stock in a certain company here in town. All the portfolio, it's going to hit big. And maybe they had millions, and the stock went from whatever to 50 cents. And they had nothing, and they had to plan on all these great trips and all buying these properties and all this great retirement, and all of that treasure just was gone. It was stolen, basically. They put their trust in the wrong thing. Flip over to 1 Timothy 6. Let me read you 3 and following, just to give you context. We'll get down to the verses we're trying to hit. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves, that somehow being godly is a way to get rich. And I'm telling you guys, this stuff is out there every day on the airwaves. Somebody telling you that if you're godly, there's gain associated with it. And the reason to give your life to God is you're going to get rich. It's a God lottery of some kind. Verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, look at this, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Is it wrong to be rich? No. But if you set your whole life focus on, I'm going to be rich, and I don't care what God says, don't try to stop me. It is my purpose, my goal, my target. I'm going for it no matter what anybody says. You are in trouble. You may get rich, but so what? And look at the next phrase. Most people know this one, but it gets misquoted. For the love of money, not money, money is not evil. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money, not money. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. And then in verse 17, he goes at it again. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us right richly all things to enjoy. Now, I am commanding you, every one of you. You know why? Because everybody in this room is rich. We don't have a clue what poor is. You got food and clothing, you're rich. You got anything beyond that, you are filthy rich compared to world standards. Command those who are rich in this present age to what? Do not be haughty. Always trying to figure out some way to be better than somebody else. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Where are you laying up treasure where moths can't get to it, rust can't get to it, thieves can't get to it? It is set. It is invested forever someplace. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works. You want to get rich? Get rich in doing something for somebody else. Give. Don't spend your whole life trying to take in. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Let them that do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Let me just tell you briefly about this treasure heart thing and possessions in particular. The second you have something that if God said on a dime, hand it over to somebody else and you hesitate, you do not own that, it owns you. Now, what have you got in your closet, in your garage, in your life, in your house that you don't own anymore? You are a slave. It is the master. You are the slave. It's got you. You cannot serve two masters. And the two that are given there, again, were God and riches or mammon. Let me just read this one. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and following. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. These are great biblical principles. You say, well, that sounds like if you're putting a lot of seed in the ground, you're trying to get rich, because if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. But what's the purpose of reaping? If you're going, okay, God, I got this principle down, and I see if I take all my money and I invest it someplace, if I put $1,000 in, you're going to give me 100-fold. I'm going to be rich. It's not about getting rich. It's about being in a position with God as the master of your life and your money and all that you have to say, Father, you have done what you said you would do, and I have more than I could possibly use. Why have you blessed me, and what do you want to do with your money, not my money? And then God looks down and says, okay, now we got something going on. You trust me. Now I know I can trust you, and you're going to do the right thing. Does it mean you never stay in a nice hotel? Does it mean you drive a heap? No, it means you have your focus on God, and he does allow you. In the previous passage where he said, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, it's not that God doesn't want us to enjoy life and enjoy things that he's created and go places and do things. Don't be consumed with that stuff. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we get the word hilarious from this Greek word that we translate cheerful. God loves hilarious givers who, when the baskets get passed at the end, you go, this is awesome, I get to give back. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this money because I'm investing it in his kingdom, and I know this principle works, and I know something's going to come back, but I got everything I need. I got food and clothing and even shelter beyond that and a car and whatever, and God blesses me and I get to do things. But God, what are you giving me this money for? Show me where you want it to go. I am nothing but a financial steward of this. It is not my money. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. You know what? Let me just suggest something. Keep God's money for a while and see what happens. I don't know how else to say this to you. You better get his money out of your hot little hands or he is coming after you. You may not give it to God, but you will not keep it. It will end up some other place. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. God loves a cheerful giver, not grudgingly, not of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Look at all those alls. You're not going to be without. He is going to take care of you.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Luke 20, verses 20 and following. Conversation with Jesus. These religious nuts following him around and harassing him and asking stupid questions, trying to trap him. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. They were there for no other reason but to trick him. Then they asked him, saying, Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Give me a coin, common coin. Whose image and inscription does it have? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And maybe you filed your taxes, and maybe the government got theirs. Well, let me tell you something. You better be real careful that the government doesn't get theirs and God gets left out. You say, well, the government's got to get theirs or there's consequences. Exactly. You say, well, they could audit me and have me arrested and levy my accounts, and I can't do that. You know what? Exactly. You're just dealing with the government there. When it comes to money, you're dealing with the God of the universe. You want to see your account levied? He can allow things to happen in your life, to your situation, that'll cost you every dime until he gets your attention. It's not that he's trying to take something away from you. God sent his son to bless us, to give. It was all about life, an abundant life. He's not trying to withhold any good thing, but you got to learn this stuff. You got to figure it out at some point. And it all goes back to that verse, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. Form 1040, Schedule A. Line 18. Take another look at it. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart?
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.